Thank you. Human beings are really quite interesting. We have been given the ability to think and to reason. We are able to thought and to plan. When we consider our thoughts and our actions, we discover that there is purpose and reason for what we do. We have certain goals and aspirations. Much time is spent trying to attain a sense of happiness, of contentment. We want to love and be loved. We want to have harmonious relationships, to experience peace and joy. We want to feel comfortable in our time of daily living. The challenge for us is to determine just how all of this will come about. And so we begin our work right where we are in the realm of thought, using our ability to think and to reason as a way of achieving our goals and aspirations. Now, through the activity of manipulation, we attempt to alter or change circumstances and conditions, hoping that there might be a particular outcome. And then we acquire possessions, collecting things that we think will bring us pleasure and satisfaction. We cultivate relationships that we think will benefit us in some way. The desire to create a way of life that works for us, one that meets our specifications for happiness and contentment, this is what we do. We look to what we have been doing for validation. We want to have evidence that we are on the path. The one that will lead us to fulfill our dreams and meet our expectations. We look to what we have accomplished and achieved, accounting for what it is that we have done. Now, when we look in this way, we may notice a degree of success. Because, you see, the world is never cause, it is effect. What we think with feeling and accept to be so will outpicture in a way that is compatible with our intent. This is law. As in mind, so in manifestation. We consider our possessions, our bank account, the number of our friends, and relationships with our family. We may like what we see, and we may even say, job well done. Yes, we have noticed what might be considered improvement in a material way. But have we truly met our goal? You know, the original one, the one seeking happiness and contentment. It is now time for an honest evaluation of what we have accomplished through mental work, through manipulation, plotting, and planning. When we seek happiness outside us, we find it lacking in some way. What the world considers as necessary things are fleeting. They come. They stay for a while, and then they pass on by. They do not last. Even the human being understands that this is so. The truth of any condition or circumstance is that this too shall pass. It doesn't matter if we consider it to be pleasant or unpleasant. This too shall pass. And we should allow it to do so. Sabbaths are told us that change is the only constant in life. And if we do not adapt, we suffer. But there is no need to suffer. Change is the way of the world. It is what it does. The problem for us is that we seek in what is temporary to discover what is lasting. We will not find stability in the fleeting moments of changing scenes and misguided thoughts. Clearly, we have got to look in another place to find what is lasting. Now, if we are sincere, the one our desire to be happy and content, then we will not be satisfied with the temporary expression. The temporary expression is what the world calls fulfillment and satisfaction. It is a counterfeit, masquerading as something it will never be. Let us not try to make it true for us. We have been told to look beyond the appearance, to go behind what seems to be, and then discover reality. Now, to go behind something, to look beyond the appearance, requires us to go to our awareness and lift it in a different place of understanding. One that does not include the ability to think and to reason. It requires us to go to that place called give no thought. It is in that place that we know and feel in a way that the human being is not able to do. Now, I think that to some degree, all of us might consider that this could be so. But the challenge for us is to discover what is lasting and what is absolute. We want to go beyond the appearance. We want to go beyond what is changing and find the reality. We want to discover what is lasting and does not change day by day. And so we ask, exactly what is it that we can rely on and where do we find it? When we contemplate life in this way, we look to religion and philosophy for our answers. We read the Bible, and we study what the mystics and holy men had to say. We contemplate the works of the modern-day metaphysician to be taught and to learn. And then we discover certain things. All of the teachers speak of truth. The truth about us, the truth about life, the truth that we are eternal life, made in the image and of the likeness of God. It is in this place of identification that we discover what is real, absolute, and everlasting. It has been written that God brought us forth out of himself. Now, exactly what does that mean for us? Well, what do we know about God? We know that God has no beginning and no end. We know that God cannot be sick or in need. We know that God is not governed by the laws made by man. Nor is God influenced by anything the human thought can invent or imagine. God simply is, expressing attributes and qualities through his creation on earth as it is in heaven. It is a spiritual creation. We are that creation. Our name and our nature is Christ, the child of God. In the Bible, the psalmist tells us, "Ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. In the New Testament, we are told, now are ye the sons and daughters of God. By bringing us forth out of himself, God made us a spiritual stuff. And what comes out of the spiritual stuff is known as the fruit of the Spirit. It is freely given and it is ours as our birthright. The truth of his presence always with us is the Christ in us, our center of fulfillment, glory, and mastery. Let us know us as that being. Robert Sparrow, in his book, Presence, the Art of Peace and Happiness, speaks about what it means to the individual when he accepts his reality as spiritual being. He says it this way, the implications of this discovery are simple and profound. It means that in each one of us, the peace, happiness, and love that is our essential nature is ever present and always available. In other words, what we truly long for in life is available at this very moment, under all conditions, in the simple knowing of our true being as it really is. What Rupert Sparrow has to say is compatible with what the Bible, Jesus, mystics, and holy men tell us about our true nature. Through Christ, we are equipped to express happiness and contentment. And that's what we wanted. But it is not the happiness and contentment with what we see when we look before us and call the material possession. It is really happiness and contentment with what we know as divine being. We do not have to go outside us for any good thing. When God gave dominion to the divine being, he gave dominion over all of the earth and all of the conditions and circumstances. He gave us dominion over our mental thoughts and the human emotions. Divine being is not governed by the laws made by man, but rather it comes under the grace of God. When we first became aware of our desire to experience happiness, contentment, we looked at the outer to fulfill our desire. And we tried this, and we tried that, and we accounted for what we did. We wanted evidence that we were indeed achieving and accumulating in a particular way. We measured ourselves, judging us according to some idea we entertained in our head. And then we adjusted our actions to fit this idea. We may have spent a great deal of time working in this way. It is a very human trait to want to have proof of what we have done. We want to be able to see something that points to a degree of success. We want to know that we are on the right path of where we want to be. And so when we begin our spiritual study, we also would like to see a degree of success. We want some evidence that we are indeed on the spiritual path. But how do we know for sure? How do we measure us in this way? When we live the spiritual way of life, we rely on inner guidance and direction. What are given in an inward way are really the qualities of life: love, joy, harmony, and peace. This is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, it cannot be measured, nor can it be contained. Its purpose is to express. God made us His instruments for expression in this place we occupy, right where we find us. Our role is to be still and allow God to be God. Now, what this means to us in an individual way is that we no longer need to seek after these things: peace, harmony, love, or joy. We really no longer have to even contemplate happiness and contentment and what that might mean. Because you see, we already are those things. And we are those things now. Not something that we're going to acquire at some future date. Let us not look beyond the moment. The moment is the only time of expression. Let us not be concerned with results. God provides the necessary thing. The listening ear and the eye divine, they bear witness to the still small voice of guidance and direction. Now, I think that all of this seems reasonable to the one who is interested in discovering what is absolute and lasting and true. A spiritual kingdom is not something that the human mind can even comprehend. So, to live in this place requires us to be willing to be led by Spirit. And to be led by Spirit means that we are no longer led by the human thought that manipulates, plots, and plans. But you know, we are still in this world. And there are times when we find us reasoning from that place of awareness. As human beings, we want to know how well we are doing. We are used to measuring our progress just to discover where we are. And yes, we want to be assured that we are also on the spiritual path, making spiritual progress. Now, I personally don't think it's necessary for us to do this. I really don't. The purpose and function of an agent of God is to simply express according to inner prompting, not moved by the human opinion or judgment. But you know, there still is an aspect of us that wants to know if we really are on the spiritual path, or have we somehow become deceived by the counterfeit, accepting the mistaken idea masquerading as the true one. Okay, so let us consider what we can do. How do we know if we are actually on the spiritual path? What do we look for? It's not a matter of us feeling more spiritual or how much better we are acting or behaving. It is not a matter of how much more virtuous we think we are. All of this has to do with that personal ego. Thinking about us spiritually is not the same as being spiritual. Anytime we involve the mental thought, we are in the place of limitation and judgment. So the true question for us about the spiritual path is, how do we relate to life? What is our view of life? Are we bearing witness as a son of man or as a child of God? Our answer will validate if we are on the spiritual path or not? Are we reacting to life or are we responding to life? Life reveals itself to us in a variety of ways, and we alone determine how to meet it. Do we react to life? That is, do we immediately jump in without direction or guidance? Or do we respond to life? Do we respond to what it has to offer? That is, do we ponder and consider before we act or move in a particular way? Do we consult the inner ear and the eye divine for the knowledge of what to do? If we do this, perhaps we are on the path. What do we allow to move us and stir us? Our place of consciousness determines our response. The eye, when lifted on high, reports a different view than the eye of downward glancing. What is our reaction to what is given to us in the newspapers, the internet, or the television? Is our reaction one of fear and confusion? Are we judging one event to be better than another? Do we have the desire to change it or direct it? But what about that statement that we of ourselves can do nothing? What exactly does the person of self think that it can do, and how does it plan to do it? Perhaps we are not yet on the path. As we begin to understand that temporal power is not power in the presence of God, there will be less reaction to those pictures of disease and lack, accident and misfortune. When we understand that God is the only power, we will not be tempted by the counterfeit or the misguided thought. Perhaps we are on the path. We are aware of man's inhumanity to man, but we are also aware of this wonderful act of kindness. Now, when we notice this, what is our consideration? Human beings tend to look at the deed and judge it. Can we understand that each of us lives in a personal state of consciousness and that we act from that place in consciousness because that is all that we really know? Can we look beyond the act or deed and see Christ? Exactly how long are we able to stay in a place of peace? To the degree that we can do this, we might consider that we are on the path. Are we still looking to the world for something? Our health? Our supply? Are we looking to some personality for our happiness? Remember, when we look to the outer, we are looking at the temporal power, and I repeat, temporal power is not power in the presence of God. The human being demands an accounting of himself. He needs proof of his progress, looking to results to consider how well he is doing. Spiritual being has no such requirement. Spiritual being does not measure itself according to the world's standards of achievement and success. The only purpose of the spiritual being is to be God's agent on this earth plane. The only purpose of the sun is to shine. It does not find it necessary to ask how well it is doing, or seek validation that it is indeed shining. It remembers from whence it came. It knows its purpose for expression, and that is all it needs to know. The same is true of divine beings. being. The one on the spiritual path knows his name and nature to be of God. Its inheritance is the fruit of the Spirit, which cannot be measured nor contained. The soul of man knows true contentment, and it is from this place of serenity that we may now live, move, and have our being. The eye lifted on high, it dwells in the presence of God and acknowledges what is there, because that is all we are asked to do. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and know us according to the divine nature. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us pause and listen to that still small voice in the center of our being. I am here. Right where you are, turn to me, and I will give you rest. I, the holy seed planted in the soul of man, remembers from whence it came. To be still is to quiet the thought and silence the emotions. There is no other power in the presence of God. The eye lifted on high is not deceived by appearance or by what seems to be. The single eye is not distracted or disturbed by outside things. Let us go often to the place of solitude and be alone with God. It is the place of still waters and green pastures. It is there that we find the table of spiritual refreshment prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. In his presence, I shall not want. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, let us go in peace. I give you peace, meat and sustenance that the world knows not of. It is freely given. Let us claim what belongs to us. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.